is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
We are back. Thank you for hanging out on Davin's Den. It's good to be back after a week off. So, right after our show, everything blew up in the world. There's a lot of interesting stories. And it was like, wow, I can't believe this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and Kid Rock? It was like everything in Kid Rock. It's like there's important shit going on, and Kid Rock. That's what it's been like the past couple of weeks.
So, I can never wear that t-shirt I have with him on it again.
Really? So you were at that concert with me. I thought that you went to that one with me.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, I thought so. All right. So this is Pip's blog. Oh, my goodness. Abortion, abortion, abortion. I miss the good old days when the answer to abortion was a hanger in a back alley. But that's not the times we're living in, kids.
Holy crap, dude.
What?
You did not just say that.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit before my time, but I remember hearing the oldens like talk and wax about it poetically. Back in their day, you got yourself a sheet, a hanger from the dry cleaner, and you had maybe a trip down the stairs. You know, the way God intended it.
Find a nice cozy back alley. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, it was more intimate.
Yeah,
it was more intimate than these like sterile hospitals or clinics with everybody poking around in there and the bright lights on. Oh, it's too much. Too much. Put it in the alley where it belongs. That's what I says.
Good old fashioned women dying of sepsis and all kinds of other complications.
It has nothing to do with their Greek, okay?
So we got more.
See, Joe's life really is dark.
Yes, I know. And see, he really should apologize.
Yeah, to everyone.
Exactly. So there was more. This is Pip's blog. I'll sum it up. I'll see if I read the whole thing, or if maybe I just sum it up. Well, Pip, well, you read the stories, right? Let me ask you, is this a good enough summary? So there's these anti-abortion doctors who went forum shopping to find the one judge in Texas who would definitely acquiesce to putting a ban across the country on the I think it's the morning after pill, because
it wasn't exactly the morning after pill. Oh. It was a pill that was used in conjunction with a second medication to provide a medicated abortion.
Medicated abortion, and they feel that the FDA was wrong, and also that since this drug was approved 20 years ago, and since then it's been easier to get. You can get with like telemedical meetings. You don't have to go into see the doctor. At the same time this was going on, in Washington State, a group of, I want to say 17, 18 states, had a judge rule up there, a federal judge, that the pill should be allowed to be delivered as it has been for all of these years. So at the same time, two consecutive hearings, two concurrent rulings were made. One banning it throughout the country, although that judge said, I realize this could be a problem, so if you want to appeal, hold off 7 days. And you had up in the Great Northwest, say for these blue states that sued, you could keep on going. Then it was appealed, and there were some restrictions put on it. So it was repealed back to how when it was implemented 20 years ago. So it was a little tougher to get, and you couldn't use. It was repealed back to 7 weeks, whereas before you could use it up to 10 weeks. So it was repealed back to 7 weeks. So now this is going to go before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has to decide tomorrow night what the hell they're going to do about all this because they created this situation. Did I sum that up pretty much what happened in my own words without reading it?
Yeah, no, that's a pretty fair summation of everything that's been going on and how complicated it is that, you know, we're going back and forth with legislation going, you know, how are you allowed to get it? Are you allowed to get it? How many weeks in are you allowed to do it? Are we allowed to send it through the mail or not? Picking apart something, you know, like each grain of rice at a time just to get to their ultimate goal of no abortion for anyone anyhow.
Well, do you want to expound on this or do you want me to take over?
Well, I think that, you know, part of my blog was really just a sense of complete disgust about how this has been going on, you know, they're attacking on every front just because, you know, for their own religious reasons, they believe that abortion should not be, and for any reason whatsoever, and they're not actually going to affect the lack of abortions. They're just going to drive them underground. And as we were joking in the beginning, but truly the really dark days where abortion was illegal and women were afraid because, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why women would elect to have an abortion. And just the fact that it was illegal made them go to desperate measures, people who were butchers. And, you know, once people are trying to do home surgery of any sort, there's a gross possibility of infection or puncturing something that should not be punctured. You know, women died unnecessarily because of these things, or they would go to their own, you know, drink poison, throw themselves down the stairs, hangers. People would try anything in their desperation, and women would die tragically. And they were afraid to go for help if something they tried something in and went awry because what they tried to do was illegal. So what we're just doing, in effect, is driving people back to those days of desperation. It's not going to stop. It's just making women have less options for their own reproductive safety.
You know, it's kind of interesting. The court case that overruled Roe versus Wade, which made abortions the law of the land, where you could get one, was called Dobbs. And what the court said in Dobbs was, the states could decide. So if you lived in a red state, maybe you couldn't get it, but you could go to a blue state, which is very problematic as it is. But what this Texas judge is saying, no, you nowhere in the country. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Supreme Court says.
If I could add to that. Now, the whole thing on my take with the whole thing with the ruling of turning Roe v. Wade over is, it like you just said, it's going to be the states, each state's decision, how they're going to handle their laws on abortion. Now, here's the deal, okay? What they're doing, and like I said, this is ultra right wing shit. They're figuring, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this pill outlawed, try to get it outlawed in the country. Well, you can't do it in the country. No. This is what we're going to do. We don't believe the FDA approved this correctly. So it's going to be the law of the land because it's going to be an FDA ruling, which is out of the context of the Constitution because we're looking out for public safety. What the problem is that this has not been a problem for 20 years. The health issues that came from it are not out of the ordinary. It hasn't been a problem that's propped up. It's just, and what they're saying is, well, why we want to have it is, well, if it doesn't work, then people have to go to the hospital. It's going to overwhelm the emergency room or whatever. It's going to take resources away. It hasn't. So it's kind of a loophole that they're finding to go through the abortion. Now, I don't like what they're doing here. When it we've had the argument on the constitutionality of what the Supreme Court decided, that's fine. But if you're going to go digging for a loophole on a loosely based thing that the FDA didn't do enough research, this is bullshit.
I think there's a couple trouble things here. I really don't want legal scholars overruling scientists. You know, and I mean, it's a real problem when the Texas judge knew it was a troublesome decision. He kind of danced around it. But here's the other part of that. I hate this, and I've talked about before, with this forum shopping, where you could bring a case in a specific district, and you know you're going to get the ruling I like. And that's why we have these activist judges, right, left, and otherwise, which I don't like. It's ridiculous that, you know, if I bring a case here, I'm going to get it just the way I want. No, then that's not the law. Then we're really not doing disciplined looking at the law and the intent of the law. We have an agenda, whatever it is, and we're going to try to find every way to rule in that way. I have a real problem with that.
I have a problem, like you're saying, with judges who have an agenda, and they're making their rulings based on their personal feelings about different topics. And it's like, where is the even trying to keep the appearance of impartiality? God.
Like I said, with the whole thing with, we're questioning the FDA ruling. The FDA there hasn't been a problem with this where it's been an outcry, okay? Like I said, the constitutionality, it's a question of the FDA. This is for the whole country. And this will lead to? It hasn't been a problem. So you're going under the context of where you ruled it for the whole overturning Roe v. Wade, but now you're going into this whole situation where you're mining for stuff, and it's not even a good argument. And be real, I think the Supreme Court will probably overrule this if they feel that there's been enough demonstration from the FDA that they did rule properly on.
Well, I don't know, Joe.
Because I don't think there's been a problem.
A lot of them are on that bench because of their view on abortion. That's why they were picked by the Federalist Society. So we're not exactly looking at impartial judges here. Yeah, basically what happened was the Supreme Court fucked up. They should have done what they always done, stare decisis. It's been decided whether you like it or don't like it. There's no reason to overturn it. Instead, they've caused chaos. And this is the latest indication of it. They didn't have to hear these other cases. They refuse cases all the time. They could have refused Dobbs. They wanted to turn it over. The Republicans ran on turning it over. Now you're watching them implode. Just look at stupid down in Florida. Just signed into law at 11 o'clock at night. No abortion after 6 weeks. Good luck running for president, stupid, on that. Like I said, that's a dumb motherfucker that's going to implode. And you.
Well, that's why there wasn't a red wave of the midterms.
Exactly. I've said it before, and I don't want to get into a whole political thing. But if you want to win, now remember, most things in Congress, you can't win because it's gerrymandered one way or the other, no matter what the people think. Which is ridiculous, but we've talked about that. I don't think any of us likes that. I think we'd all like more competitive districts. So the people actually,
right.
Here, if I am the Democrats, and God knows they don't listen to me, but if I am the Democrats, I run on two things. Because you might have, there's a chance you're going to have headwinds with the economy. There's a chance that's going to happen. I am running on abortion. I am running on guns, because even the majority of NRA members want stuff done on guns. And we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But those are the two things I am running, because in the past, the Democrats have run away from it. Well, the Republicans got their way, and we are seeing what is happening. That if I'm the Democrats, I lean into it. Those are my two issues. And if the Republicans are smart, they'll pick other issues. But they're not that smart. They're doing culture wars. That's what I would do. Because the country does not want this crazy right-wing shit. Most of the country wants abortion within reason. You know, people don't want 8-month abortions unless a mother's going to die or something like that. They don't want 7-month abortions unless a mother's going to die. Most people in the country want abortions within reasons, you know, before the fetus is too far developed. Once it's viable outside the mother, I believe most Americans do not want the person to have an abortion, once again, unless the mother is going to die. If the child is not viable outside of the mother, I think most people, we don't love abortion, we don't like abortion, But you realize the repercussions. You realize the lives that are going to be ruined, whether it be the mother who can't take care of it, the kid who's never going to have a chance, whatever it is. Nobody, the vast majority of people in this country do not love abortions. And the vast majority of these people do not love this six-week stuff that they're doing now. That's the issue. So if I'm the Democrats, I run on common sense. And when the Republicans come at you, oh, they want nine-month abortion. That's when you have the facts. You have to be able to argue your case, and the Democrats are not very good at that. But that's what I would do, and that's why
I think that's why maybe it got driven to the forefront, because they were taking, you know, I think it was a late. I know that the Supreme Court case was not decided on that. It was that local case that they ruled. That's how everything happened. But I just think, with everything going on with the pushing the envelope on late-term abortions, I think that's why it came up to the forefront and why that other case got in front of the Supreme Court. And then they said, all right, we're going to sit with it on constitutionality. It's each state's decision on what they want to do.
That's how we got to that point. With all due respect, I disagree. I think it came to the forefront because the Republicans have been running on 50 years. The Republicans were very – the Democrats never paid attention to judges. The Republicans were always paying attention to judges, especially Mitch McConnell, always had his eye on the prize, the Federalist Society. This is what they ran on. That's what they got elected on. They never thought they were going to get it. And then they got it, and they got all the judges to go, yeah, we could do this. Because I don't think those judges were looking at politics when it comes to abortion, believe it or not. I believe this is what they believe, that what they really believe about abortion. And now the Republicans are like, oh, shit. We can't be trusted. Like I said, we had a conversation. We had a conversation a couple weeks ago about guns. And I said, yeah, we've proven we can't be held. We're not responsible and adult enough to have guns without supervision. We've proven that. It's the same thing with the Republicans and abortion and making it, you know, state to state. They've proven they cannot be responsible to have common sense abortion laws, making it stricter, more strict than the left would like, but still something within reason of what most people can live with. And that's what I think. That's where we are.
The interesting thing is that the Supreme Court ruled based on what they felt the Constitution was. They ruled on that there was no red wave. Okay, now you would think after that that the Republicans would have learned that, you know what, ixnay on the abortion or nay bay. But then a couple of far right politicians, they found a judge that said, no, we're going to rule this that the FDA did not do enough. Well, what about, it doesn't matter what the Constitution says. We're looking out for the goodwill of the people. And they're trying to push it. Well, it's going to affect the whole country. And I think they're going to bridge too far on something that is a weak defense on why. The FDA, there has not been an outcry that it's been dangerous. It seems that the FDA did all their research. And it seems that the reason that they're saying that hospitals would be overwhelmed if it did not work, or what have you, is really not valid. It's really not been a problem. So I don't know why they're going out on the limb with this. It's stupid.
Politics, that's why they're going out.
Well, like you said before, Davin, that I don't like having politicians being anywhere near medical decisions because, you know, the scary thing is that, oh, I don't want to say most because that's crazy, but a lot of men do not have a clear idea how women's bodies work, what the parts are, where they are, and what they're doing.
Well, here, what's interesting,
they really do not understand.
What's interesting is when Obamacare was trying to get pushed through, the Republicans ran on, you don't want a politician getting in between you and a doctor. Now they're running on, you need a politician getting in between you and a doctor.
Right, and it's insane. How dare you make these choices when, I mean, we've heard the crazy headlines over the years of, you know, members of, you know, the House or the Senate getting up and saying just absolutely cuckoo things about women's bodies and how they work. And, you know, a woman has a thing that if she's getting raped, she can just turn off getting pregnant. That's not how it works. You know, the idea that women would not be allowed abortions after 6 weeks. You don't understand how that works. I mean, it's not necessarily, not every woman's period is absolutely every 21 days. You know, it's not how it works. So it's really, that leaves a lot of women in the lurch how fast they would know that they're pregnant.
Have we seen? I'm sorry, go on.
No, and then, you know, because there are so many different laws restricting access to abortions, then, you know, you have to take time off of work. If you have an abusive partner, you have to come up with a way to get to a clinic. You know, you have to figure out how are you going to be able to support your family, because people are living paycheck to paycheck, and missing a day's work, or maybe two, is really going to, like, take a bite of, do I get this done or do I feed my family? There are huge complications now. And saying that you only have 6 weeks to figure out what you want to do is really inhumane.
All right, let's move on to, we'll keep within the courts. Oh, Clarence Thomas. Clarence. This guy, he's got a lot of stuff. He's got some splaining to do. In late June 2019, right after the U.S. Supreme Court released its final opinion of the term, Justin Clarence Thomas boarded a large private jet headed to Indonesia. He and his wife were going on vacation, 9 days of island hopping in a volcanic archipelago on a super yacht staffed by a coterie of attendants and a private chef. If Thomas had chartered the plane and the 162-foot yacht himself, the total cost of the trip could have exceeded $500,000. Fortunately for him, that wasn't necessary. He was on vacation with real estate magnate, Republican mega donor Harlan Crow, who owned the jet and the yacht too. For more than two decades, Thomas has accepted luxury trips virtually every year from the Dallas businessman without disclosing them, documents and interviews show. A public servant who has a salary of $285,000, he has vacationed on Crow's super yacht around the globe. He flies in Crow's Bombardier Global 5000 jet. He has gone with Crow to the Bohemian Grove, the exclusive California all-male retreat, and to Crow's sprawling ranch in East Texas. And Thomas typically spends about a week every summer at Crow's private resort in the Adirondacks. These trips appear nowhere in Thomas's financial disclosures. His failure to report the flights appeared to violate a law passed after Watergate that requires justices, judges, members of Congress, federal officials to disclose most gifts, two ethics law experts said. He also should have disclosed his trips on the yacht, these experts said. In a statement, Crow acknowledged that he'd extended hospitality to the Thomases over the years, but said that Thomas never asked for any of it, and it was no different from the hospitality we've extended to our many other dear friends. By accepting the trips, Thomas has broken longstanding norms for judges, conduct, ethics experts, and four current or retired federal judges said. A code of conduct for federal judges below the Supreme Court requires them to avoid the appearance of impropriety. Members of the High Court, Chief Justice John Roberts has written, consult the code for guidance. The Supreme Court is left almost entirely to police itself. We're going to consult. That's nice. Okay. There are a few restrictions on what gifts justices can accept. That's in contrast to other branches of government. Members of Congress are generally prohibited from taking gifts worth $50 or more, and would need pre-approval from the Ethics Committee to take any of the trips Thomas has accepted from Crow. In 2011, the New York Times reported on Crow's generosity toward the justice. That same year, Politico revealed that Crow had given $500,000 to a Tea Party group founded by Ginny Thomas, Clarence's wife, which also paid her $120,000 salary. But the full scale of Crow's benefactions has never been revealed. In 2014, one of the Texas billionaire hauling Crow's companies purchased a string of properties on a quiet residential street in Savannah, Georgia. It wasn't a marquee acquisition for the real estate magnate, just an old single-story home and two vacant lots down the road. What made it noteworthy were the people on the other side of the deal, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his relatives. The transaction marks the first known instance of money flowing from the Republican megadonor to the Supreme Court justice. The Crow Company bought the properties for $133,000 from three co-owners. Thomas, his mother, and the family of Thomas's late brother, according to a state tax document and a deed dated October 15, 2014. The purchase put Crow in an unusual position. He now owned the house where the justice's elderly mother was living. Soon after the sale was completed, contractors began work on tens of thousands of dollars of improvements on the two-bedroom, one-bathroom home, which looks out onto a patch of orange trees. The renovations included a carport, repaired roof, and a new fence and gates, according to city permits and record. A federal disclosure law passed after Watergate requires justices and other officials to disclose the details of most real estate sales over $1,000. Thomas never disclosed his sale of the Savannah properties. That appears to be a violation of the law, four ethics law experts told ProPublica. The disclosure form Thomas filed for that year also had a space to report the identity of the buyer in any private transaction, such as a real estate deal. That space is blank. He needed to report his interest in the sale, said Virginia Cantor, a former government ethics lawyer now at the Watchdog Group Crew. Given the role Crow has played in subsidizing the lifestyle of Thomas and his wife, you have to wonder if this was an effort to put cash in their pockets. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas reported that his family has earned rental income from a Nebraska real estate firm that has been shuttered since 2006, according to the Washington Post. In recent years, Thomas reportedly continued to disclose between $50,000 and $100,000 in income from the old firm annually. It marks the latest question about justices' financial practices after a record ProPublica report revealed. All right, so basically, listen, I think this is a great way to buy yourself a judge.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. We can't pretend in this day and age that he was unaware that these were violations of his the notifications that he has to file every year, you know, to say what gifts he had received. Even on a local level, my friend who works in New Jersey has to notify the government every year of gifts over $250 given from any source other than their immediate family. You can't say that he didn't know that he was supposed to be putting this on his legal disclosure form every year.
Of course not.
The real estate transaction, same thing.
This guy looks over case law and the Constitution with a fine-tooth comb. He can make a decision based on one word. This isn't some dumb guy who got hit in the head with a brick. This is a brilliant legal mind, a brilliant legal scholar. He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. It's blatant.
And there's nothing that can be done about it.
That's wrong.
Well, because you could impeach him, but unless you have a supermajority and you happen to be in power, if the Democrats had a supermajority, I guess they could super impeach him. I guess they could impeach him, but who the hell would want to go down that road?
Right. Well, the other thing is that, you know, I can't believe, because it's the highest court, that even the other judges wouldn't have the ability to censure him for this, you know, oversight, quote unquote, of filling out the financial forms, which seems like fraud to me.
You know,
someone should have oversight of this particular action.
If he's too stupid to figure out the forms, I don't need his ass on the Supreme Court.
Well, and we know it's not about stupidity.
No. I tell you, this is just another reason why the Supreme Court's stature in this country is on a steady decline, because nobody looks at this and goes, oh, yeah, that's fine. This guy never should have been on the Supreme Court, you know, with what happened with Anita Hill. But this guy is a disgrace, and there's nothing that can be done about it. I don't care if they replace him with another Republican. I'm not saying, you know, not that it works that way. It's not even about politics. It's just, how can you have the highest court in the land, which is essentially making the law of the land, and this guy's on the take, or at least it looks like he's on the take.
Yeah.
Well, if he goes away with his millionaire friend, and they go away.
I like how you say that it's some chick and they're dating. He goes away with his millionaire. Like you and Anthony go on vacation.
Right.
Where Joe's not going to do the show next week. He's going away with his millionaire friend.
That's hysterical, yeah. But if he had it, is that really a gift? Does that constitute a gift?
Absolutely.
Sure. If I, Joe, if I take you with me on vacation and I pay for everything, a vacation that you couldn't afford, what would you call that?
I would call it a friend picking up the tab. I don't know.
Every year? every year? What about if your friend is paying your wife's salary?
That could be a problem. You know, they have to look into that.
What about your friend buying the house where your mom lives and completely renovating it? Your pal.
I think though, if the mom is still alive, and I think the law in that part of the country, in that town, if the house is purchased, but the person is still living there, the person, you know, it's not sold to the party, but the person that it's purchased, and the person that originally owned the house is still living there. I believe that is a loophole where they don't have to report that.
Forget about the legality of it. Do you feel good about that? Does that look like it stinks?
They all do it.
No. We're not doing they all do it. We got this guy. This is the one that's been nailed. There's no hint of stank to this level. Now, Kavanaugh took some stuff, but nothing with the years behind it, like Clarence Thomas does, like where this guy is clearly living a life above his means. Now, I'm not even saying this guy Crow curried any favor. I'm not even saying that. I don't know if it's influenced the decisions, but you know, if this was the mob, we'd go, yeah, he bought the judge. That was a thing. You could buy, so make Crow's name Crowio. Make it Italian. Now he's buying a judge. Okay, I mean, it's the same thing.
You know, if you have an obligation to be above reproach, and that's what the Superior Court is supposed to be, this is gross negligence, because he certainly does not look above reproach.
I think if you could tell Americans, because I'm going to say all Americans, we're going to replace him with another Republican, because I don't want to get into the whole party thing. We're going to replace him with another Republican based on this. I think the vast majority would say, yeah, he's got to go.
I'd say just censure him and move on.
How do you censor him? What did he censor him? He slap his wrist, bad boy. I mean, this guy's been on the take for over 20 years.
But except for this small business deal that he did with his friend, what else has he done?
Well, he's still claiming money from a company that hasn't existed in 17 years. Where is that money coming from? Every year he's claiming $50,000 to $100,000 from a company that's been out of business since 2006. He's getting that money somewhere.
That looks shady.
They'll look into it. They'll censure him.
I don't think he's even going to get censured. I can't believe you're not bothered by this.
No, not really. All of them are on the take. All of them are fucking crooks.
But we never thought that about the Supreme Court before. And I don't think Judge Roberts is a crook. And he's a Republican. I don't think the Chief Justice is a crook. He might not decide things the way I would decide. I think he's a man of integrity. I think most of them are people of integrity. I think the vast majority of the Supreme Court are people of integrity. This guy's got no integrity. This guy was a scumbag when he got in. You don't randomly have people saying, you know, they left a pubic hair on, what was it, a can of soda? You don't have those random accusations. I mean, this guy's a bad guy. And then you throw in what his wife is doing around January 6th, you know, badgering and being involved in that shit. And they go, oh, we don't really talk about politics at home. What are you talking about? What you guys had for dessert? Stop it. Stop it. I mean, really, this guy's got so much bad shit going on around him. This guy is a criminal. You know, everybody's like, lock her up. Or now with Donald Trump, lock him up. If this person was running for office for president, people would be chanting, lock him up. I assure you.
Yeah, it seems really scummy to me. I mean, full disclosure, since the Anita Hill trials, I've never liked him. I'm shocked that he's on the Supreme Court, frankly. But just knowing how local and state politics runs, I know that this is an abuse of what they're supposed to disclose. So playing games with, oh, well, he's my pal. No, 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 no. He's a millionaire. He has things that he wants. This is exactly how you can tip the scales to how legislature goes and decisions are made. And yeah, it stinks. It really does stink. And I wish that there was a way. I used the word censure before. I don't think that goes far enough, but at the very least, something. And nothing will be done.
Well, you know, why not kick him downstairs a couple levels? You know, you could still be in the federal system, but you're going back all the way back to the bottom, like chutes and ladders. You almost got to the tippy top, but then you hit that chute and you had to start your ass all the way back down at the bottom. Why can't we do that? You know, everybody else, you know, has a report card, is graded. You know, you go in for evaluation by your boss. You guys have it, you know, and your careers. How come we can't evaluate? Listen, not for nothing, and I know you use that terminology since the mob bought you. This is a problem. You have to start at the beginning. We cannot have you where only 9 of the most brilliant, above-board people sit for a lifetime. I'm sorry, Clarence. Have your Pepsi, have your pubic hair, start at the bottom.
Oh, excuse me very much. It was a Coca-Cola that pubic hair was sitting upon, sir.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, figures. There's 2 major colas, and I guessed the wrong one. Story of my life.
This is the most important part of the story.
I failed the Pepsi challenge. All right. And there, I dated myself with that because nobody else will. All right. The Republican-controlled legislature voted on Thursday, it's a couple weeks ago, to expel Representatives Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. By the way, it was really annoying that they both had the same first name. Made this story much harder than it needed to be. Fellas, does anybody have a middle name? Can we go with that? But to spare a white Democratic lawmaker, Gloria Johnson, who participated in the same protest but narrowly avoided being kicked out. Justin Jones, represented for Nashville, and Justin Pearson, who represented Memphis, gave rousing speeches in the chamber before the majority white legislator voted to oust them, leaving tens of thousands of mostly black and brown Tennessee residents without representation. Jones, 27, said he had no regrets and would continue to speak for Tennesseans who are demanding change. What happened yesterday was an attack on our democracy and overt racism. The nation got to see clearly what's going on in Tennessee. We don't have a democracy, especially when it comes to black and brown communities. This is what we've been challenging all session, a very toxic, racist work environment. Jones said Republican lawmakers were trying to take Tennessee backwards and pointed to the state's history of white supremacy and the birthplace of the ultra-violent Ku Klux Klan. I thought the birthplace of the Ku Klux Klan was Indiana. Pretty sure it is.
I'm not sure.
Pearson, 27, told reporters that in carrying out the protest, the three had broken a house rule because we're fighting for kids who are dying from gun violence and people in our communities who want to see an end to proliferation of weaponry in our communities. So what happened was, this was after the shooting, I believe it was a Nashville school shooting, three 9-year-olds and three adults gunned down in a school. Members of the community march on the house, the Tennessee State House, wanting action. They're inside. There's no violence or anything, but you know they're yelling and stuff. So you have these three lawmakers, the three Democrats, want to be heard, want to get a vote, get something on the record, and they're being shut down. They're being silenced. They're not being given the opportunity. So what happens is they take control. They lead to the top, and the two black men use a megaphone. Gloria did not use a megaphone. And they started shouting. I don't remember what they shouted, but the shouting that we have to do something. So that's what caused all of this. The Republicans did not want to do anything in regards to guns. They didn't want to hear anything about it. And the Republicans lead the House in Tennessee 75% to 25%. It is a super majority in the House, in the State House in Tennessee. So there was a vote to expel them. Jones and Pearson, the two youngest lawmakers and former community organizers, were greeted with rapturous chants and songs of resistance by a huge crowd outside the state capitol building during the vote. The visitors' gallery exploded in angry shouts of shame and fascists. Johnson, the white Democrat, spared expulsion by a 1-vote margin, was asked by reporters about the split vote as she left chamber on Thursday. "I'll answer your question. It might have to do with the color of our skin," said Johnson, a retired teacher. Republican lawmakers denied allegations of racism and said expulsions were necessary to avoid setting a precedent that lawmakers' disruptions of proceedings through the protest would be tolerated. So that, yeah. So here's the thing about this house. So since the Civil War, this marks the fourth time that members have been expelled. Now, there is a there was a Republican member of this chamber that urinated on another member's chair in there. Was not expelled. Can't make this up. There have been domestic abusers, assaulters, not expelled. These three had already been dealt with. They were kicked off their committees. So they got rid of the two black, the two Justins. The following week, they went back to their communities, and both of them unanimously were reelected to represent their communities. All right. First of all, I hope all three of us agree with this, but I know two of us will be. That goes to me, you can't be that stupid. Yeah, I mean, just the way it looks. Just the way it looks. All these old white guys, you know, taking it out on these two young black guys. And if you heard, did you guys hear them speak at all? These two gentlemen?
Yes.
Did you hear them speak at all, Joe?
No.
I will say this. I would rather have any of these two gentlemen speak on my behalf than any of the past two mushmouth presidents we've had. The way they spoke, the clarity, the passion, the knowledge of history, the conveying of a message, compared to mumbles and mumbles too. You could pick who's mumbles between Trump and Biden and who's mumbles too. Either way, who the hell knows what the hell they're saying? They certainly don't sometimes. Compared to these two guys who are representing, and then it's just so stupid. Just censure them. Censure them. I'm fine with that. You broke rules. Rules are rules. You can't be rowdy in the House. I agree with that.
Yeah.
You want to kick him off the committee for 6 months a year? Okay. Maybe it's a little harsh, but okay. But to take away the people's representation that the communities voted for a couple of months ago in November, you can't do that. Not over this. Not over this.
Well,
sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm sorry, but like I said, it was in session. They went in, the interrupted legislative business. They're there with a bullhorn. I mean, they should have been censored.
I think we all, Joe. I think we all agree. You got to do something.
Now, why they did that is that you know, I guess you want stuff done about what the hell are you doing over there? Richard, I can see the flakes flying off your back. Looks like you're milling something.
Oh my God! Wow.
I have the center of my back is so itchy I couldn't wait.
Oh my God! Bare necessity is the very bare necessity. All right.
Jesus Christ! Now Joe will go back to making his point.
Funny, yeah, right. Now. We had all a little levity. Now let's back to business.
See, that's why Joe can't be on the nightly news. He can't focus.
So basically what they wanted something to do about gun control. They want to save the kids. That's what they said. We need to save the kids. That's why we're in here with a bullhorn, to save the kids. So what they were probably for was House Bill 322. And basically what Bill 322 is that lock exterior doors while students are present, subject to penalties for repeat violations, conduct annual incident command and bus safety drills in addition to already requiring intruder drills, requires all new built public school facilities to install classroom locks, doors, and secure visitor entry vestibules. It also requires districts to annually share safety plans, floor plans, and security systems access with the state and local law enforcement. Requires to have a threat assessment team. They are currently allowed and not required, but it's going to require that. Requires annual active shooter training for private security guards and requires such training to be completed before posted in a school. It would also require private schools to develop safety plans for emergency response and crisis management, conduct annual armed intruder incident command and bus safety drills, lock exterior doors, require private school security guards to complete the same training the public schools complete. And basically, what it's doing is, it is a remedy that, until we get the situation straightened out, is an immediate situation to stop intruders coming in and killing kids, so we get some of these other laws in check and decide on them. That's what they wanted. That's why they're there with a bullhorn. Oh, I'm sorry. No, the three of them voted against that. So before we start sitting here saying that they're martyrs and they're caring about our kids, a bill that did pass without them, that should have been passed, they refused to sign off on. Why? Because they don't want gun battles on the schoolhouse door. We want our kids to be safe and feel safe. Well, for the time being, you better get something enacted to protect these kids. All three of them did not sign off on this. So before we go saying that they're a martyr, this bill...
No. I'm saying the Republicans made them a martyr. The Republicans made them a martyr. The Republicans created... Nobody would have heard of these three. If they just stopped with the censure and didn't expel, nobody would have heard about them. The Republicans created this. They could have dealt with them internally. And like I said, most people left or right would have said, yeah, you can't break rules like that. You lose your house. You lose your committee assignments.
But the thing about it is, what the media doesn't bring up is that they did not sign, the three of them refused to sign off on House Bill 322, which is an immediate action to get this passed and to try to get some sense of safety in the school.
That has nothing to do why the two young black men were expelled and the white woman wasn't.
Now, they were expelled because what happened is the black man came in there with the bullhorn and disrupted everything. Why she saved her ass, she didn't come down, they didn't come down as hard as her, is that she made a statement after that. She was not a disruptor. She was kind of in after the fact.
She was up there with them. She was up. But again, that all sounds good until you realize you didn't do anything about the dude who pissed on another member's chair.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is this. You can't have them. The whole reason that they're in there, we have to do something now. All right, well, you hypocrites because you didn't sign off on this bill.
But I'm not, first of all.
Maybe you should have got a censure, but don't make them out as martyrs. Because
the Republicans did that. I wouldn't. We wouldn't be talking about it. We'll have another.
Don't make them out. You know what, though? You need to tell the Republicans. You know, they made them martyrs. But however, they're not martyrs. Okay, they're not martyrs because they had something in that could be enacted, which is being enacted immediately, that they didn't sign off because the word, well, we don't want, you know.
What's your source for that? What is your source for that you're reading?
My source is Bill. Look it up right now. Tennessee House Bill 322.
No. But like, you know, where, what else is that, everything that's in there? Or is there more in there?
Right here.
All right. Well, but that's neither here nor there.
Right here.
You can't tell me there's not racism involved when a bunch of old white dudes send the two black people from the black and brown communities a packing, when you can piss on a member's chair and it's A-okay, when you can assault people and it's A-okay. Listen, if they dealt with pissers and assaulters and that way, and we get rid of people, go okay. They don't want any riffraff.
Not a bullhorn.
Joe. Joe, every day of the week.
Petitioning that, and they marched in, and they pissed up. Maybe there. I mean, it was a little. Yes, we get it. The demonstration was relatively, well, it was peaceful. All right, but they did come into the building, disrupt the legislative censure, session with bullhorns. Like I said, it's the Republicans' fault. I mean, they should have used their head on that. Sometimes, most of the times, they don't. But however, don't make them out on martyrs because they had this bill, House Bill 322, that was voted on that they did not sign off on.
Well, I'm trying to read here on what it was that they objected to, but they felt that it said in this article here, Fox News, that it, they felt that it didn't go far enough.
Well, that's sacrificing the good for the pursuit of the perfect, which is not smart, but they do it. We see politicians do that all the time.
They didn't go, and the reason they said it didn't go far enough is that they said, well, we want stricter gun control laws, and we got, all right, right off the bat, the whole thing with the gun control thing, it's such an involved thing on what steps need to be taken. You can't stop all the guns immediately. What are we going to do today? What are we doing today, right now? This bill is what we're doing today right now. Is it everything that they wanted? No. However, it's a step that can be enacted immediately to get the training and get the safety, where if you get these people that want to do these dastardly things, and they're going to realize that a lot of it is, a lot of these guys, and I explained it before a couple of weeks ago, There was a study that these two psychologists did on every mass shooting that occurred in the past 20 years. And what they have found out is that these people have been abused, home abused, bullied, whatever. And they have a lot of self-loathing to themselves. There gets to a point, and this has been with all of them, obviously, from the actions that they carry out, where they turn the self-loathing out. People around, the people they might have felt wrong, in places that they were, they've been. And they go out, we're a mission bear, they're planning to die as well, but they're going to take people out. If right off the bat, if you have safety where they might get it through their head, you walk on these grounds, you're going to be killed immediately before you even get in, even if they look like a threat. So what this bill is to just set, because there's so much work that's got to be done, regards to the Constitution, regards to health care, regards to red flag laws and how they interfere. But right now, to get the ball rolling on this, this bill puts safety measures in place that could have stopped the shootings in the past couple of schools. They didn't want to sign off on it because, we want the guns. All right, well, we got to do something immediately. You can't just sit there and go, we got to get rid of guns. It's going to take a while. Unfortunately, it is. However, this measure goes into place. The three of them didn't sign off on it. The media has not touched on this. And this is why I feel, the Republicans put them there, but they're really not martyrs.
All right. Well, I think it's always a bad look when a bunch of old white men get rid of, almost the only couple of minorities. Never a good look. Like I said, here's the problem with it. And then let's move on. It's the people voted for them. This was their representation. That, forget about the politicians. It's the people that voted for them. This is the representation they wanted. They did it. These people did not deserve not to have representation. As it turns out, it was only for a week, but the Republicans took the vote away over something that was not so egregious to take their representation away.
But my question is this: originally, when the story came out, and I think
we never touched on it. Never touched on it.
But the story came out, and I saw it when you were in show prep, and I'm like, all right, well, it's probably going to be that they got their they were called. Up, and the way the media made it sound as well is that they went up because you had to dig to find out they went in with bullhorns.
I saw the video. I saw the video of it.
Yeah, but sometimes you see it and you read it or whatever, and if you don't, I had to read into this to see that it crashed into a session with bullhorns.
They didn't crash into a session. They're part of the members. They didn't crash into. They went to the front and would not let order continue. But it's not like there was a meeting going on and they broke through the doors. They're part of the house.
Essentially, they went into the meeting and disrupted the meeting.
Well, their microphones had been shut off because they wanted to try to get a gun bill on the floor, and had been shut off. And the constituents were in the building screaming for something to happen. Listen, it doesn't matter. All I'm saying is, it looks really racist when you do shit like this, and then you spare the white lady, and it just looks really bad when you're letting chair pissers not get expelled, and you're expelled.
I understand that, but it also, like I said, this bill is, when you see this, bless.
Thank you.
When you see this bill, it's like, well, we were all concerned. They didn't sign off on this bill because they wanted immediate gun control. You can't do immediate gun. You can't do immediate gun control. What you can do immediately is pass this bill. They should have put their money with their mouth is and signed off on the bill.
All right, let's move on. Let's do some School of Fools, and let's go to Florida and drag queens. The subject that.
A fool.
School board members say most of them had minimal input before the district decided to cancel a drag and donuts event at Boone High School scheduled for today. Good evening. I'm Greg Warman.
And I'm Martha Sagowski. An after-school club invited a performer to speak about their life experiences. District officials told us the State Department of Education threatened teachers' licenses if this event was allowed to go on. Channel 9's Nick Pampantonis is live outside Boone High School with more on this story. And Nick, you asked board members where the line over LGBTQ issues should be drawn.
Yeah, the two board members I spoke to are not happy about the decision, and some parents say the rights of their students have been trampled on in the district, the Department of Education overstepped. I asked those board members if they fear retaliation from the state if they speak out on some of these issues.
It sends a message to these kids that, an underlying message that who they are or what they believe is not right.
Orange County Public Schools' decision to cancel a student group's event is leaving some school board members feeling stuck.
Are we opening ourselves up to a federal lawsuit?
Board members told me a threat from the Florida Department of Education to punish teachers over the Drag and Donuts event appears to overstep the Parental Rights in Education Act and run afoul of the Constitution and federal law. But they say their hands are somewhat tied.
We are also required to follow law. And if we don't, we can be removed from office.
Is there a point in which you'd be willing to risk your position as an elected official to stand up for what you think was right?
I have always said that there are certain hills I would die on.
Whenever we have an issue like a federal lawsuit or where we're violating students' federal rights, we need to take a stand.
Board members say the real prospect of the governor replacing the district's leadership with political appointees is what makes them pause.
And I hope that we are not going down that path of preventing our student clubs to exist or have speakers. But that's a discussion the board's going to have.
We sent the governor's office and the Department of Education 4 questions about how far they're willing to take this issue and if they're worried about the legal implications of what they're doing. We did not get any responses today. Live in Orlando, Nick Papantonis, Channel 9 Eyewitness News.
All right, there's a bit more to this story that I'll read, important stuff about this. So the Queer and Ally Alliance at the Orlando School planned to gather for the third year in a row. So this has been going on with Jason DiShazzo, a Lakeland man who performs as Mama Ashley Rose. I believe that was Joe's stage name in Rotka. DiShazzo bills himself as the Disney...
Actually, U-turn, thank you.
What'd you say?
It was actually U-turn, thank you very much.
Okay. DiShazzo bills himself as the Disney Channel of drag and runs a charitable foundation that mentors and supports LGBTQ students. In a recorded phone message to parents that Wednesday afternoon, Boone principal Hector Maestra said the after-school gathering was not a drag show but an opportunity for students to hear a positive message of acceptance and love. That sounds terrible. The event was canceled. I don't want them getting that shit in school. I'm not going to give it to them at home. I don't want them hearing it in school. The event was canceled. What, no? Bad parenting? The event...
How dare you be positive?
I will not. You know my brand. The event was canceled after the Florida Department of Education questioned whether it was age and developmentally appropriate and indicated any administrator, teacher, or staff member in attendance may be investigated and jeopardize their professional license, Maestra's message said. Earlier Wednesday, Alicia Ferrant, a parent, a Moms for Liberty member... Moms for Liberty, as opposed to Moms for Slavery. That is the group I carry to. A Moms for Liberty member elected to the Orange School Board in November denounced the after-school event in a Facebook post. A Facebook post with all of your best denouncing goes, followed by a Yelp review. I am looking into this to get further details, but would like parents to know that I do not condone this type of event. I do not. No, wrote Ferrant, whose school board distinction includes Boone. We need to be raising the standard of excellence in our schools and helping students excel academically, not inviting drag queens into eat donuts with our children, because you can't do two things at once. No, they're not. DiShazzo, who appeared in drag to testify against one of those bills Tuesday, said his meeting at Boone would not be a drag show. Not a drag show. He planned to share my story as a queer person, share his message of everyone is loved and accepted and wanted for who they are. No! That's a terrible message for students. And answer students' questions. No. You learn it on the street. He met with the Boone Club members in the previous years and has met with teenagers and gay straight alliance clubs at many other Florida high schools, he said. Oh, so he's got a track record. His character and performances are appropriate for all ages, with his typical costume, a long gown or dress. Hey, Joe, maybe you guys could go shopping in each other's closets. Often of a 50s-style mom, he said, nothing I do is lewd, except suck cock. No, he didn't say that. And nothing I do is sexual, except suck cock. No, he didn't say that.
Nobody said that.
He said that the student group asked him to appear. He said that the student group asked him to appear in.
We're going to have an argument after this, and then you're ruining your own cause.
No, I'm not. The only thing I'm ruining is the cause for me to be near children. It has nothing to do with DeShazza. I have made the case of why I should not be left alone with children.
Agreed.
Thank you, Pip. He said the student group asked him to appear and drag, but he would have happily gone in everyday clothes if the teenagers preferred, which would have made him a dude. Which he's still a dude. At the State Board of Education's meeting Wednesday, board member Esther Byrd asked Education Commissioner Manny Diaz if he knew about the drag show at Boone High. Diaz said he had heard about it and was instructing staff to get from information from Orange County Public Schools. I don't understand how teachers and principals think that sponsoring such an event is proper, Diaz said. This seems highly inappropriate. Ryan Petty, another state board member, criticized the school and OCPS on Twitter. Ah, another great place to make a point for the planned event. The argument that this is a student organized is immaterial. Immaterial! And I barely know how to spell it. It doesn't belong in schools, no matter who organizes it. They're trying to build self-esteem of children that are persecuted by their peers. No, let them take a punch in the nose and be shoved in the locker like our gays were. That is how we deal with gays in America. Parent,
like our gays were.
Well, our generation. Come on,
we
weren't exactly aware. Parents,
absolutely not.
Parent Judy Hayes, who is a son at Boone, said before the cancellation that she has no problem with the after-school meeting and said she thinks Farron is just trying to whip up outrage yet again because she couldn't just keep her mouth shut like a damn woman should. Farron led efforts to get books she thought were too sexually explicit pulled from the OCPS school libraries. No titties in the books! No titmouse, I say! That mouse knows what it's doing. With its big breasts, calling it a titmouse. It's all about tits. They wouldn't call it a titmouse if it wasn't. It's a highly erotic mouse, and I will not have it. It's a lewd mouse.
You have to take all of the field guides for birds away then. Tits, boobies, it's all over the place. Scott, all over the place.
No boobies, only cranes. That's what's going to me, Hayes said. We have real problems. This is not one of them. But this makes headlines, she said. Teacher shortages, social media bullying, you know, where we're trying to bully other parents right now, and gun violence, among other issues, deserve attention instead of an after-school meeting to support LGBTQ teenagers, she added. Earlier this month, DeShazza had to move the location of his charity's annual Miss Rose Dynasty pageant when the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts decided it would not allow the all-age drag shows given the state's move against Plaza Live. The pageant was moved to a resort in Kissimmee so that students who were scheduled to perform could take part. All right, here's the thing. This isn't a drag show. We could have that argument about what's a lewd drag show and a not lewd drag show, but there's no reason to have that argument here because basically it's a speaker talking to people that traditionally have been in the closet, have formed an organization, and it's basically a message about love. You know, love yourself as you are. Don't hate yourself because these kids are struggling. Listen, straight kids are struggling with who the hell they are in high school, let alone gay kids. It's basically, and it's not just gay people that can show up to this. You could have a school assembly on this and I'd be cool. Hey, just love yourself as you are. And he even said, listen, if they don't want me going drag, I don't have to. I got some dungarees. I'll throw on the dungarees and the flannel. Now, I do have to put on the eyeliner because I rock. But it's just so. And he's been doing it for years. It's just so unnecessary.
But they're still pushing this agenda.
What agenda? There's no way. The agenda to be nice and love yourself?
Educating these kids to compete in the world. And instead of
You can't. Wait, this is an after school program. It's not the curriculum. And it's hard to compete in the world if you don't love yourself. You have a lot of self-loathing. I'm sure it's held you back. I'm not saying you aren't justified in your self-loathing. I've hated you at times, too. But I mean, if you don't love yourself, You can't love other people. You can't perform. That's all this guy was doing. He's not teaching a drag class. He's just saying, accept yourself. Give yourself the grace that we should all give ourselves. That's all this guy's message is.
I just think it's just, this agenda is just running rampant, and I blame the schools. I'm perpetuating it. I really do.
But there's the only agenda this guy has is kindness. Now, I realize that's not your strength, but, I mean, surely it must be okay for other people to be nice.
See, the thing is...
On school grounds, you should just have it somewhere else.
Why? They have the Christian group. I'll tell you this, the Christian groups are usually a bunch more pricks than this group is. And you know who's a bunch of and then I'm going to let you speak, Pam. I'm just going to say this. You know who's usually a bunch of pricks? The football team. They're usually a bunch of pricks. Go on, Pip.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a person that has a good message for, and it's an after-school group that is already self-selecting people that want to hear this message from this particular person. So it's not like it's being forced upon any kids that didn't want to hear it or didn't want to be near him. This is like an after school group. They're already probably LGBTQ youth. They have a tough enough time in school, and here's somebody that is going to be able to talk to them about their own self-worth and to not let society attacking them drag them down. Pardon the pun, I didn't mean that. But it also means that it's not that people coming and speaking to kids about being gay or being drag queens or anything is going to turn them gay. This fallacy that people have that they're trying to indoctrinate is just so it's self-perpetuating. People keep saying it like it's true, but it's not. You're not going to want to suck cock if you don't want to suck cock.
95% of young adults is trans, identify as trans. Why are they pushing this on 95%?
This isn't trans. This is not trans.
This is not a trans issue.
And the message this person is sharing really has nothing to do with sexual orientation. Hold on! Hold on! I was talking. Stop! Stop!
Perpetuated. No, because you're part of the problem. Both of you.
No, here we go. He's going to flap. Anyway, the message this particular person is talking about has nothing to do with sexual orientation or sexual identity. It's other people sexualizing it because what he does for his career. That's all it is. He's talking about love yourself. Every teenager can use that. I promise you.
Even if he was speaking specifically in the grounds of if you're gay, you could still love yourself, it's not making them gay. Gay people have always existed. 10% is the is the percentage that is often used of the population that is gay now, because it's still a problem for people to come out for various reasons. We don't know if that is an accurate percentage. I'm just going to use it because it's the one that's been used a lot. But I'm saying that being near a gay person, listening to a gay person speak, does not make one gay. It's not an agenda that they're pushing to try to turn people that way. It's trying to tell people who already are that you're okay and that you deserve to exist with all the same rights as everybody else without being bullied or attacked or killed. That's okay to spread that knowledge with kids who are having a hard enough time with their self-identity. What's wrong with spreading that message?
And remember, they've already done it a couple of years in a row, so this isn't the first time they're doing it. Now, listen, this is a CUNT who wants to make headlines. That's what this is. If she doesn't start yapping, nobody gives a shit. I guarantee you the parents of the straight kids would know nothing about this, and it wouldn't affect them zero. It's another one of these Made up stories. That's what it is. Let me look at me. I'm so righteous. I guarantee you that woman took it in the ass under the bleachers when she was 14 by her daddy. I guarantee she's been abused and she can't deal with it now. I said it, Pip. Her name is Farrant. It rhymes with parent, and what I say is quite apparent. I said it, and I stand by it, and I'll post it on Facebook, which is where you put these things.
That is where you put these things.
That's where you put these things.
Not there. No.
It's just all about nothing. Joe, I'm really disappointed that you think this is terrible.
You really shouldn't be. You should be concerned where you have a contingent of kids. I identify as this. I'm this. I'm that. And making up all these nonsensical words. And
Wait, this isn't that.
Perpetuated by school.
But that's not this. You're conflating various things.
It goes hand in hand with it.
No, it doesn't. That's the old argument that they said, if you let them be gay, next thing you know, they'll be sleeping with dogs. That's that old argument. All right, Pip, what the hell is that?
What?
Oh, Pip disappeared.
Oh, my background?
Yeah, who is that?
My drag queen background? Who? I just decided to change it for the story.
Okay. I didn't know that was a thing now, but okay, Pip. I guess Joe's space thing is for SpaceX when that launches. I guess we're all doing themes. And I got the Devils behind me because they're getting their ass kicked right now against the Rangers. We're all doing themes. Very nice, Pip.
Funny. I got to get the Mission Control one back. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, well, because you're not smart enough for it. Maybe if there was a club, you could get an education.
Now you're winning. Yeah.
I had the flames before in honor of the brush fires that were rampaging through the area.
Yes,
last week.
You had the brush fires up by you?
Oh yeah.
Oh boy, that's not good.
Oh yeah, really bad.
Yeah, it's good, scary. Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
This and the next story we are going to do are about people crying for attention, and I know about crying for attention and relevancy. We do this every Tuesday night. I do it every weekend. I know what that looks like. I'm aware of it. But let's just call it what it is. That's all I'm saying. Which brings us...
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, why is it doing that? This week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term, gold-headed. If you're drunk, you're gold-headed. Huh. I guess you're
I guess maybe that comes from.
You got a heavy head because you're going around, and maybe it's and maybe you have gold in your head.
I think he's saying if you're drunk, that's the gold standard. Go get shit-faced. I think that's what he's saying.
I think he was just a genius, and he already invented Goldschweiger, and nobody knew.
Oh, that could be one of his inventions. That's probably it.
Let me tell you about drinking. Last night was one of those nights where you keep on thinking the Long Island Railroad has magic sobering powers. Man, I stumbled out of Sullivan's last night. Holy shit.
All right.
And the railroad does not have those sobering powers, I think you've noticed.
A brand deal between Anheuser-Busch and transgender actor and TikTok star Dylan Mulvaney was met with anti-trans backlash, but the beer company said it will continue to try to reach diverse groups of people. Not with taste, but we're still going to reach them. Mulvaney, who has over 10 million followers on TikTok and is kicking all of our asses, posted on Instagram video on April 1st in which she drinks a Bud Light and reveals a custom beer can with her face on it. In the video, the 26-year-old influencer promotes the company's March Madness contest with a $15,000 prize while dressed as Audrey Hepburn's character Holly Golightly from Breakfast at Tiffany's. The caption identifies her as hashtag Bud Light Partner. She then shares that she has celebrated 365 days of womanhood, which she's been documenting in a TikTok series. On her social media platform, she also sings, makes fashion content, promotes other companies like Olay, EOS, and Netflix. I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports, she jokes in the video. I'm not exactly sure what sport, but either way, it's a cause to celebrate. Thank you. Thank you for that wisdom. Mulvaney described the... See, she's just like every other influencer. A nitwit. Mulvaney described the can as possibly the best gift ever. In the past, I've got it in the can, but to get my own can from Bud Light is really something special.
Holy crap!
What, no? No, that's not the message?
No!
Hashtag in the can? No? No? All right.
No!
My reading comprehension's not so good. I apologize.
Wrong can.
Sorry. That's why we have you here. The comedic promotional video prompted anti-trans outrage across right-wing media and also from a musician. They call me Sucks Cock. Anyway, on Monday, the singer released a video and the first one anyone's watched in over a decade of his of shooting multiple Bud Light cans while wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Okay. And Donald Trump is going, "What? No. I don't need this. I don't need this. I can cause my own messes. Take the hat off, kid. Take it off." Grandpa's feeling a little frisky today. Let me say something to all you and be as clear and concise as possible. He says before firing at four packs of cans with a rifle and proceeding to flip off the camera. By the way, I do not think this is ideal gun safety. Fuck Bud Light and fuck Anheuser-Busch. Have a terrific day. Okay. Bud Light's parent company, Anheuser-Busch, has not specifically addressed the backlash, but did explain its decision to partner with Mulvaney as part of its efforts to reach diverse groups of consumers. The custom can was intended to celebrate her reaching a milestone after transitioning, and this is a lot easier than making a good-tasting beer. Anheuser-Busch works with... Anheuser-Busch works with hundreds of influencers across our brands as one of many ways to authentically, really? A can with yourself is not authentic. Let them write a Clydesdale, stupid. Authentically connect with audiences across various demographics who have too much good taste to drink this swill. A spokesperson said in a statement shared with BuzzFeed News. And by the way, if I'm doing a story about booze, BuzzFeed is the news source I'm going to. From time to time, we practice unique commemorative cans for fans and for brand influencers like Dylan Mulvaney. This commemorative can was a gift to celebrate a personal milestone and is not for sale to the general public. All right, it's very nice. I mean, she could have probably gotten that at the state fair, but either way, it's very nice. Anheuser-Busch did not comment on Kid Rock's video because why would anybody comment on anything Kid Rock's done in the past 20 years? Country music singer Travis Tritt won't drink any beverages made by Anheuser-Busch on his current tour, to which people said, "Who's Travis Tritt?" Tritt made the announcement on Twitter after one of the American Brewing Company's brands sent a gift to a transgender influencer. "My word, I will not drink this swill. Give me Bush beer. I know good beer." Tritt revealed he would no longer request any Anheuser-Busch products on his tour rider, which made people go, "It's a tour rider, dude. Why would you request that shit?"
Ask for something good. What's
seriously. Ugh. Which is a document with a list of requirements provided by artists when performing, including food, drinks, room setup. He also requested hot dogs that had been on 7-Eleven at 7-Eleven for 23 and a half hours, too, because he's a connoisseur of fine yum-yums.
What's wrong with that? They're good and crunchy by then.
No, I like a hot dog that sweats. Like it's nervous, like it knows it's going to go up somebody's booty. That's how I like my hot dogs.
I like a good, fine leather product that's been rolled around there for a whole day, as you said.
You know, funny, you ever see that taquito that's been there rolling around for like 8 hours? And it's like, yes. You know what? I really want to finish this book.
That'll do it.
Joe looks at that taquito the way some people look when they go to the pound to the puppy or to the old dog or old cat that's been there 3 years. All right, I guess I'll be the one that takes it home and rescues it. That's how Joe looks at the taquito.
Come on, boy, we're going home.
Yes.
You felt sorry for it, I know.
Somebody's got to give you home. Come on, I got a nice colon for you. You won't be there long, but you'll like it.
Gave you those big heart-shaped taquito eyes. Take me home. Well, poor little little rescue taquito.
Whose crust is that? That's a rescue taquito, yeah.
Gavin, I guarantee we're going to be on the road somewhere at some point. We're going to go to a 7-Eleven. One of us is going to go, you want a rescue taquito?
The rescue taquito.
That's the name of them. Whatever you go, it's a rescue taquito.
I don't think that's a pure breed taquito. That's not straight from Mexico.
Some night, somewhere, we're going to walk in. Want a rescue taquito?
Let's take it home. Poor thing's been waiting so long.
We don't have a show for another 12 hours. You got the time.
If you've got the time, we've got the taquito.
That's so funny.
I will be deleting all Anheuser-Busch products from my tour hospitality writer. No, Travis Tritt, no. I know many other artists who are doing the same. Do ya? Anheuser-Busch top executive on Friday offered an apology flatter than a day, New York Post, flatter than a day old Bud Light as the beer giant reels from the backlash over its sponsorship deal. We never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. Aren't you taste great and less filling? All you do is divide people.
I know. Really.
We are in the business of bringing people together over a beer where they can then get in the urine trough and piss for a minute and a half. Whitworth finally broke his silence over the brewing controversy, but made no mention of the sponsorship deal with Mulvaney, which has led to calls for a boycott of the nation's largest beer company, because we have real problems.
Nobody wants to be holding on to that can.
No.
That's the problem.
He also didn't address reports that senior executives were kept in the dark about the Mulvaney rollout. A rollout? They gave it to one person. It's not a rollout. Instead, Whitworth said he focused on building and protecting our remarkable history and heritage. Well, you kind of shot that in the ass, didn't you, stupid? Moving forward, yeah. I'll continue to work tirelessly to bring great beers to consumers and across our great nation. No, you're not. You're not. Your beer sucks. If this is you working tirelessly, retire. You're not very good at this. The $132 billion beer company has seen its market value plummet by some $5 billion since the campaign was launched April 1st. Ruh-roh. Busch distributors around the country have been feeling the fallout, with many bars in conservative states from Tennessee to Wyoming refusing to stock Bud Light. Really? Really? I simply don't understand why they hired the person who was doing the marketing. I mean, if your target customer is Kid Rock, no, he's not. He's a rich man with his own yacht. He's not drinking that shit either. He's crying for somebody to pay attention.
No, he probably is drinking that shit, to be honest.
Yeah, it's possible. Then all of a sudden you decide to go RuPaul. That just doesn't make any sense at all. I'll give you that. That's a valid point. I'll give you that. Budweiser factories have also reportedly been targeted by a wave of bomb threats this week. Really? On Thursday, the Los Angeles Police Department confirmed that officers responded to a call from Anheuser-Busch facility in Van Nuys. A spokesperson for the St. Louis-based beer maker told Patch that several other facilities across the country also received bomb threats. The Post has sought comment from Anheuser-Busch. So one marketing expert told the Post Whitworth mea culpa will do later to do little to quell it. So some people at Budweiser are standing by it. Joe Rogan popped open a can of Bud Light on a recent show and panned the boycott effort as goofy. Shock jock Howard Stern has decried the conservative outrage over Mulvaney. All right, here's the thing. What the fuck is Kid Rock doing? This is nothing. This is Kid Rock. Please look at me. Here's my problem with this whole thing. We see how crazy people are. They are calling in bomb threats to Budweiser over this. Here's what concerns me. This 26-year-old influencer who nobody would know, nobody who would be angry would know, is now in danger because Kid Rock said, listen, man, nobody's paid attention to me in 15 years. Nobody's looking at my albums anymore. I know, because I have them. I bought them in the bargain bin. I have a lot of Kid Rock albums. This is just so, so pathetic. Yeah, I think the thirstiest person in all this, because you got Travis Tritt, you got Bud Light, you got Mulvaney, you got Kid Rock. I think Kid Rock is the thirstiest person in all of this. I really do. It's sad. Sad.
Here's basically an overview, and this reads like a Seinfeld episode. Okay, basically, what the marketing person, this VP did, wants to introduce Bud Light to a new younger generation.
Can I stop you right there, Joe? Why do we have to punish a younger generation with that swill?
Let me continue.
Okay.
She sees that this interviewer, Dylan Mulvaney, is there, and it's like, you know what? What we'll do is that somebody that was decided to change their sexual identity, they're going to change to a piss beer. So let's see if we can introduce it to, you know, to that. It causes a firestorm because what the situation is Bud Light is basically drunk by a bunch of, you know, regular blue collar people. Okay. And basically people feel that only 5% of people are trans or whatever. And me included, I do feel that they're going a bridge too far with their agenda. So they push it into the whole beer area. People are like, all right, now you're getting into our beer as something that is red, white, and blue, America, whatever, enough is enough. You get Kid Rock, which caters to that audience. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get my AR, and I'm going to shoot the Bud Light cans, which will delight everybody, okay? All he did was waste $35 worth of beer, okay?
And ammo.
Yeah, and ammo is expensive, too. You also have the Travis Tritt, who said, well, I ain't going to have that in my rider anymore. All right, because who that's his core audience. Well, Travis is taking a stand on that, you know, and he's catering to them. Anheuser-Busch didn't realize that this was going to be such a to-do, and they all took a bath on this. The whole thing is an absolute clusterfuck. So much so, yeah, you do have the death threats. I posted something on Facebook last week that I posted it and people read it the wrong way. Basically what happened is there were events with the Clydesdale horses that got canceled because they thought there were threats that would be at these events for the Clydesdale horses, which is ridiculous. I wrote, you see what happens when a stallion decides to be a mare? Pointing it to the horses. Everybody thought I was making a comment on transgenders. Well, if they have, so I got people on my page once. Well, you know that, yeah, figures you think that way. Then I got other people. Well, yeah, it serves them right. They missed the whole point of the joke, and I'm going, well, this is too fucking funny to change, even though they didn't get the fucking joke. And it just points out how fucking ridiculous everything got, you know. And it's funny because people, I posted a picture of myself at the pool at the compound, and I go, I used to be Josephine, and everybody, including Dennis, you know, one of the guys, you know, one of the crew, oh, well, you're drinking that piss beer and stuff like that, you know, and I go, well, that's what the host of the house likes, Bud Light, and I drink it. The host of the house even said on his show, it is piss, but it's deep and it's refreshing, and who gives a shit? It's a whole fucking clusterfuck. This whole thing, from the VP to Kid Rock to me and the fucking Clydesdale show. And this is where we are, you know? And I think what started it was, I feel people think that basically because the rest of the 95% of us are not, you know, transgender, and they feel that they got into an area and it was a bit too much. And I think that's why the whole damn thing blew up.
But here's the thing. It wouldn't have blown up if Kid Rock didn't do anything. That's the thing. You know what this really is? This is old people, and I'm saying we're old people, getting upset because Bud Light is not marketing it to us anymore. They kind of gave us the finger and go, we're moving on to a younger generation. Now, the younger generation ain't going to drink this shit. Let's be honest about it. They drink way better stuff than we grew up on. But that's what this is. This is about age. This is about Kid Rock is irrelevant. I like Kid Rock. I'll tell you one thing, though. I'm not buying any more of his albums. I'm not going to any more of his concerts because it's so stupid. And I would have done it before, even though I know he's a Trumper. I would have supported him before. I think he's incredibly talented. But if you're going to be this stupid and good needy, this needy, do it without me. I'm not interested.
I think he's been Mikey ever since he lost his little person.
No, that's not true. He had
another
some
little person.
He had some good stuff with after Josie passed away. He had some good stuff.
I think he's been cranky. I think he needs another little person to hang with. That seems to bring him joy.
Is that what it is?
It is. I think it the whole thing would turn around for him.
I mean, am I wrong? Is he the most pathetic one out of all these people?
I think it's pretty sad that he decided that he had to bring so much attention to himself, because that was the most important, most egregious thing in the world that he had to deal with. I mean, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but, you know, kids are getting blown up in their schools every week, and we're worried about who's on the can of Budweiser. Really?
Well, like I said, basically, people feel when you're getting into this beer that is a blue-collar beer and you're trying to, you know, and the impression is that you're trying to force the transgender agenda on it, you get Kid Rock that caters to that, figures, well, I'll just, you know, I'll shoot it up with an AR, and, you know, people will love it, and it'll be controversial, but my core audience will like it. Me, I'm like, you wasted expensive ammunition on $30 worth of beer, which what I would have taken anyway. You know, give it to me.
But they're not really pushing an agenda, because they only released the can to this person. They didn't release it nationwide. It was just for her.
But the story is presented that they're trying to have this influencer push Bud Light. And basically, like I said, 5% of the people are transgender or whatever, and the narrative has been pushed. Look, there's a certain thing called tolerance, and you get tolerance. But when it gets past tolerance, when you're pushing your agenda too far, there starts to be a little pushback on that. And when they push back into this beer, you have a contingency of people that say, you know what, enough is enough. You got Kid Rock leading the charge, you know, shooting it up.
All right, enough is enough, but bomb threats?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Enough is enough, but you brought up a valid point. You got to bomb threats. You can't have the fucking Clydesdales around because they're fearing somebody might hurt the Clydesdale. You got to fucking relax too. And I'm not saying that you. I'm the overview in the situation. You got to fucking relax, because you know what? At the end of the day, it is his fear. You know,
yes.
you're not over a bottle of fucking 1815 Merlot. I mean, it is his fear. It's fucking Bud Light. So you know what? Yeah, you got to fucking relax.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Let's take our last break and do a Scamming Scammers. On the break, we got new music with Justin Turk with Truth and Lies, and new music with Missy Balsam in Move My Body. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com.